Hey everybody, Pastor Joe here. I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning. As we continue our series, Home for Christmas, I thought it would be fun to invite you into my home. Now obviously I can't invite you into my living room right now, but this is as close as we can get. I am in my living room and I'm happy to be joining you virtually in your living room. That was really awkward, but a lot of fun to say. So I'm glad to be here with you nonetheless. Well, friends, hey, let's open in a word of prayer and then let's dive right into God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are a God of love, a God of joy, a God of peace. Father, I thank you for this Christmas season. I thank you that it's the true story of Christmas, the Jesus story that transforms our lives. And I pray, Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would shape us this morning, that you would maybe challenge our cultural values, that you would speak directly to our hearts, and that you would produce life change. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes you just need a good laugh. And speaking of laughter, I just want to show you this funny clip by the Skit Guys. Check it out.
Santa, you're needed in human resources, please.
No. You got this, Petey. Come on now. Yes. You got it.
Hey, good job.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, you got some,
huh?
You got some stuff on your nose?
Oh. So, have you seen him?
No, it's my first day.
Yeah, mine too.
This may be the best day of my life.
I know. He just oozes kindness, you know? If he walked in here right now, I would totally turn into a snow puddle. They say that his eyes just radiate with love and candy, but mostly love.
Sure. They say that he makes you feel like you're the only person in the room.
Have you ever seen how the children's faces just light up when they see him?
The hope that he spreads? I can't hardly contain myself right now.
Can you imagine being friends with him?
I know. Sometimes there aren't enough words to express how amazing he is. We should celebrate him all year round. If it were up to me, we would. His love, his grace, coming to this earth to save us. Come on, guys. Let's go celebrate Jesus' birthday.
Just FYI, I was talking about Jesus the whole time.
Oh, I was too.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% was talking about Jesus.
Same page, same page.
It feels good to laugh, doesn't it? And speaking of laughter, have you ever noticed that there are a lot of different types of laughter? Like a lot of different, very distinct types of laughing. And to show you what I mean, I'll give you a few examples of people who laugh. Maybe I'll start with the most anticlimactic of all laughers, and that's the that's funny guy, right? You've just, say you're laying out a joke, you've got the backstory, the build, you're just really building it up to just something really funny, and you finally deliver that punchline and you just send it home, and they just lean back and be like, that's funny. And you're just kind of like, that's funny? Like, you couldn't even offer me a courtesy chuckle? Like, come on, man. And speaking of chuckling, that's one common type of laughter, right? The, oh, that's good. You know, usually let that little sigh just kind of trail off there. Ah, you know. Ah, there's the very exuberant head back laughter. Right, you just got to get your whole body into it to really feel that one. There's the mime. Right? You know, my mom is a very distinct laugher. It was really funny. When we were kids, we'd be Christmas shopping so at the mall. It would just be crazy. People everywhere. And when we were finished our shopping, we'd be trying to find our mom. And this was before we all had cell phones as teenagers. And we'd be searching the mall for her. And there was one way that we could always find her every time. And that would be, inevitably, my mom would meet someone she would know, and she would laugh. And her laugh was so loud and so distinct that it didn't matter where we were able to pinpoint my mom in the mall. As for me personally, I'm kind of a wake up the baby sort of laugher. I go from, if you say something really funny, I'm going to go from 0 to 60 in 1 second flat. If you catch me, you know, mid slurp in some soup, you might get some snot coming out of my nose. Don't recommend it, but that's the kind of laugher I am. You know, in fact, for our amusement this morning, how about you take just a couple seconds and type in the chat what type of laugher you think that you are. But here's the thing. No matter what type of laugher you are, it feels good to laugh, doesn't it? And my sermon this morning is entitled, The Weary World Rejoices. You know, I don't need to be a mind reader. I don't need to have the gift of prophecy to know that there are some weary people watching this morning. Now, this year, more than others, has been very difficult. There's been a lot of losses that need to be grieved. There's been a lot of changes that we've had to make, and make again, and again. And most people don't deal that great with change to begin with, and then you just like heap it on this year. There's been a lot of anxiety and restlessness, just kind of that under the surface level sort of anxiety that's kind of been hanging out all year. And you put all of these things together and they're enough to make anyone feel tired and worn out. And here's the thing. I think that we could all use a little joy this Christmas season. And the good news is this, Jesus brings joy to the weary soul. I'm going to say that again, Jesus brings joy to the weary soul. See, last week we started reading the true story of Christmas by reading Mary's visitation by the angel in Luke chapter 1. The angel Gabriel visited Mary and told her that she would be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah, the one who would rescue and save them. And this Messiah would be none other than the Son of God himself, Jesus. And this is exactly where we're going to pick up the story this morning. And after hearing the angel's words, Mary then left to visit her elderly relative Elizabeth. And Mary was so excited to tell Elizabeth about everything that the angel had said, to fill her in what was going on. But as soon as she enters Elizabeth's home, immediately, Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says that the baby in her stomach, because Elizabeth was pregnant as well, jumped for joy. And when Elizabeth sees Mary, she takes the words right out of Mary's mouth. And she utters this joy-filled prophetic word. And the word prophetic simply means spirit-inspired speech. And in this particular case, the Spirit had inspired her to know that Mary was going to be the mother of the Son of God. And so Mary has this incredible encounter with Elizabeth. And following this, Mary responds. And she responds with a more thoughtful but no less joy-filled, spirit-inspired song in Luke chapter 1. If you've got a Bible this morning, or if you've got another device that you can pull it up on, we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Now, it's important to understand that these aren't the only two prophetic outbursts recorded in the book of Luke. Surrounding Jesus' birth, there was this sudden surge of prophetic words. And after hundreds of years of prophetic silence, after all of this quietness and this waiting and this anxiety, there's this sudden rebirth, this renewal, this revival, if you will, of God's Spirit. And joy begins to well up from a deep, deep spring. And the opening line of Mary's song lets us know that her joy indeed comes from deep within. So let's begin reading this morning in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 46. It says, Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." See, this morning as we talk about the joy that Jesus brings, I want to ask you a very simple but maybe difficult question. And that question is, how is your soul? How is your soul? See, I'm not asking, how are you? Right? The acceptable way in our culture to respond to someone asking, how are you, is either to lie, right, and say, you know, just living the dream, taking it a day at a time, even though your life is crumbling and in shambles. Or to focus on either the positive or the negative circumstances in your life at that given time. Oh yeah, you know, I'm doing really well. I just had my birthday. Or you know what, I'm just having a really crummy day. Right? That's kind of how we answer the question, how are you doing? But when I ask, you know, how is your soul? That's an entirely different question. Because the soul, even though it's not immune from outward circumstances, even though it's not immune from the day-to-day stuff that affects us all, the soul can be completely miserable in paradise. It can be so discontent and so angry and so hateful in a world of pleasure. But in the same way, the soul can be completely at peace, completely full of joy, in a weary and chaotic world. So how is your soul? Is it full of anxiety, weariness, anger, and fear? Or is it full of peace, hope, joy, and love? See, as followers of Jesus, we can experience His joy not only in the Christmas season, not only right now, but every day. And the reason that we can experience joy is because we serve the God who sees. We serve the God who sees. And I'm going to explain that in a few moments. As we walk through Mary's song of praise, I want to highlight a few very specific ways that our God sees things that no one else sees. And the first thing that we see is that He is the God who sees the humble. Our God is the God who sees the humble. As we continue to read Mary's song, this is what she says. She says, "Oh, my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He took notice of His lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and He has done great things for me. He has shown mercy from generation to generation to all who fear Him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands." You see, we see a sharp contrast right away in Mary's song between the humble and the proud. And while God sees the humble and is mindful and merciful towards them, He pulls out the false confidence of the proud like a rug from underneath their feet. And so, see, what this means is that Jesus didn't come to save those who thought they were good enough. He didn't come to save those who thought that they had it all together. No, Jesus came to save those who knew that they needed a Savior. To those of us who know that we need a Savior, and to show those who think that they have it all together that they really don't. That they are indeed the poorest of all. As my Bible college professor used to tell me, the kingdom of heaven is for those who recognize their true condition. See, Mary recognized that it was not her ability, or even her lack of ability, that really mattered. What mattered was what God could do. She found joy because she recognized that her true power, her true confidence, came from God alone. And I want you to know this morning, if you feel overlooked, if you feel overwhelmed, if you're looking at going through life and you just feel like it's you against the world, know that our God is for you and not against you. And I implore you, I beg you this morning to lean into Jesus, to lean on Him, to spend time in His presence, to ask God to allow you to see things as He sees them, to fill your soul once again with the joy of your salvation. It is only Jesus who brings joy to the weary soul. The second thing that we see is that He is the God who sees things as they truly are. He is the God who sees things as they truly are. As we continued in that passage in verses 52 and 53, it talks about this contrast between the proud, between the poor and the rich. I'm going to read it again. It says, He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away with empty hands. And here we see a second sharp contrast. See, the first few lines, it was the humble versus the proud. But now it is the poor versus the rich. God fills the hungry, but sends the rich away empty. See, as humans, we often like to give honor to those with status, to the celebrities, to the politicians, if we happen to like them, right? To the rich, the influential, the popular people. Those are the people that we give our status and who we look up to and who we want to be like. We look at them and say, wow, you know, they have it all. But God sees right past the veil of social media filters. He sees through the paper-thin wall of wealth, and He knows that those things are more likely to rob joy than to give them. You know, actor Jim Carrey is known for saying this. He says, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything that they ever dreamed of so they can see that it is not the answer. And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, if that's not the answer, if that's not the answer to happiness, then what is? Being poor? Well, yes and no. Poverty does not bring joy. Poverty brings pain. And that's the reason that the church is called to care for the impoverished, to look out for the poor and the marginalized. But the poor, like the humble, have a unique advantage. They recognize their need for a Savior. They recognize their need for a Savior. And when they find Him, they are filled. See, God takes our cultural values and He flips them. He turns them right over on their head. And while God humbles the rulers, He lifts up the humble. While the rich walk away empty, the poor are filled. And this doesn't mean that if you have money, you can't be a follower of Jesus. It doesn't mean that you can't experience joy, but it does mean that it is harder. That it is harder. Because if you're anything like me, you will want to put your confidence in your position or in your wealth or in your possessions. But to reprise the song that we sang earlier this morning, what joy! What joy for those whose hope is in the name of the Lord. And maybe, just maybe as the Grinch thought in that famous children's story, maybe happiness is not bought in a store. Maybe Christmas means a little bit more. Finally, our God is the God who sees us through. He is the God who sees us through. We're going to finish off Mary's song. It says this in verses 54 and 55. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he has made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. He is the God of his promise. You see, while Jesus came to save the whole world, his promise first came to Israel, came to Abraham, and the nation that would come from him. And if you remember from last week, God had promised a Messiah to free the Israelites from exile, to establish the kingdom of God. But when the Israelites came back out of exile to the rubble of their once glorious nation, they had to wonder, is this home? Is this it? And when they remained captives in their own land underneath the Babylonians and the Persians and now the Romans, they had to wonder, has God forgotten us? Is he just the God of half-hearted promises? You know, though the wait was long, God was about to make good on his promise. He not only remembered his promise to Abraham and to Israel, but he was about to exceed their greatest expectations and to do what only God could do, bringing salvation, saving people from their sins through Jesus. And he wasn't just going to bring that to the nation of Israel, but he was going to bring that to the whole world, to you and to me. But you know what? If we back up just a little bit, this year maybe feels a little bit like exile, doesn't it? You know, we're home for Christmas, but it doesn't quite feel like home, does it? You know, my son asked me the other day at bedtime, he's like, Daddy, why doesn't God just get rid of the coronavirus? And being a pastor, I wanted to have a really profound and meaningful response to my 7-year-old son. And the best that I could come up with was, you know, Caleb, I don't know. I don't know, buddy. You see, but this is what I do know. What I do know is that our God is the God who sees. He's not indifferent. He's not calloused. He's not cold. He's not heartless. He's a God who is intimately involved in the lives of people, everyday, ordinary people like you and me. He is the God of his promise. He is the God who sees us through. He sees us through even the most difficult situations that we can face. And he is the God who sees you. He is the God who sees you. He sees you. He is intimately aware of your struggles and your shortcomings, but also your desires and your dreams. And he is merciful. He is loving. He is just. He is enough for you. See, we can have joy. We can have joy this Christmas because God sees you. Because God sent his one and only Son to the world to save us, to bring us back into a relationship with him. And nothing and no one in this world can ever rob that from us, can ever take that from us. And so we can have joy. Joy that runs deep, the joy of the Holy Spirit. Because it is Jesus who brings joy to a weary world. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just pray for every single weary soul out there this morning. God, I just pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, the joy would well up in their hearts even now. God, that just as Elizabeth and Mary and later Zachariah and Anna and Simon would be filled with your Spirit and full of joy, I pray that we too would be filled with your joy this Christmas season, and that it wouldn't just be for a day or 2 days, but it would last. And it would be joy that overflows like pouring water into a cup and just letting it run over and over.